We're going to read tonight again in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians and continue in a line of discussion that led us into some really sweet places in prayer on Sunday evening. And I think probably we'll have a workshop here tonight in prayer. So we'll spend a little bit of time discussing these passages and then we'll work on them a little bit. I'm excited about Brother Steve Buxton coming. He is a man of great passion. I've always felt sorry for people to have to live in places like San Diego, most desirable real estate in the whole world, just about. And but he's got a passion for ministry here, but he's got a tremendous passion for missions and has for years traveled to the Philippines principally and other places and just digging out works, not a missionary in appointment or anything, but just hungry to see something happen in the kingdom of God. So you're going to be blessed. And I'll just tell you, I called him, as I do quite often with people, and I just said, when you feel something for us in the Holy Ghost, I want you to come. And then I just leave it at that. Some folks never call back. And that's just perfectly fine. Because we're way too late in the dispensation just to have oration, just to have visits from celebrities or however people look at things like that. We need a word from God. We need the fivefold ministry to open up, and we need giftedness to move. And so I think he's coming in the will of God, and we're excited to hear what saith the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Everybody say desire spiritual gifts. Praise God. Look at verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak it with tongues. Everybody say, covet to prophesy. Desire to prophesy. Want to prophesy. And so all of these things are prized, powerful, important, and Paul wants the church not only to be knowledgeable about them, but he wants the church to walk in them and to have a hunger for them. And we want to have that kind of hunger. And we want God to have his way in this house and with this church family. God bless you. You can be seated as you are. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word. Let's magnify him for it. The privilege of handling the word. Mighty God, we give you praise and thanks. We magnify you. We praise you for the privilege to handle your word, your eternal word. God, speak in this house by it tonight. We love you for it. We praise you for it. And everyone said amen. So here we are dealing with Paul and the insertion of the kingdom of God in one of the primary cities of the ancient world, Corinth. And it is a pagan city, and it is a Hellenistic city. And we've talked about the rampant temple prostitution and the norms and the values there, so different from Judaism and so different from even our modern Judeo-Christian values. So Paul is trying to insert new values and new mores and a new culture among them. And that's what these letters are. That's what these books in your Bible are all about. And so as Paul's teaching them, then he gets down here to the gifts of the Spirit. And that's a part of apostolic culture. God is introducing them. Paul is introducing them to the gifts of the Spirit, and he's teaching them about the gifts. And he begins the conversation in chapter 12 with the idea that the church is a body and the power of unity and the fact that if you're going to be used in the gifts of God, if you're going to find your giftedness and operate in what God has called you to be and called you to do, then you have to have the concept that we're going to minister to the body and that the body is more important than the individual. Praise God. And then chapter 13 is about love. And he teaches that I can have all the gifts of God, but if I'm not walking in love, if I don't love God's people, then the gifts are of no value at all. So the foundation for the effective use of the gifts is the idea of unity, the value of the body, walking in love and regarding and respecting the people of God. And I would suppose all people, but especially the people of the house of faith. And so that's Paul's foundation. And then chapter 14, where we were Sunday night, he's getting into the nuts and bolts, to the mechanics of the gifts of the Spirit. And we spent a little time delineating between the gift of tongues and what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, which is a prayer language that God gives you that signals you're having received the Holy Ghost. And then it becomes a very, very important part of your prayer experience from that time on. Paul says in chapter 8 of Romans, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but God, the Spirit, makes intercession for us. And that is, he says there, with groanings that cannot be uttered. But I do believe that it is in large part praying in that heavenly language or praying in tongues. Now, I've asked you umpteen times, but how many of you really want to find the promise of God and the giftedness of God in your life, and you want to operate in that? Some of you are not lifting your hands because you're not quite sure what that entails or what that means, but you were called, you were born again into the kingdom because God has a design and he has a purpose for you. He has a place in the body for you to function. You have a giftedness and you have a calling in your life that is unique to you, and you will never attain the level of satisfaction in life or actualize the calling of God in your life without tapping into that giftedness that God has placed within your heart. So then in chapter 12, he describes all the different types of gifts and all the different types of ministries. And we're all made differently and wired differently. And so we hear a little bit differently and we respond a little bit differently. And that diversity is great strength in the body. And so you're glad to have that. You're glad that your liver works like a liver and your kidneys work like kidneys and your brain works like a brain and your eyeball works like an eyeball. And it would be sad, Paul says, if you were all one of those things, if you were just one big liver. It would be sad if you were just one big eyeball. It would be an irritating experience to roll around through life, just one big eyeball. But now you're all this complete body and every member functions according to the will and the calling of God. And he wants his church to be like that. So if you're brand new to this or you've been in this a while, but you've never really delved into the spiritual part of living for God, then you've missed out perhaps on what God has called you to be. I will tell you this. He never called you just to sit on a pew and to be breathing and alive. That's a good start. And that's a place where he wants you, but there is ministry every day all around you, and God needs his body working on all cylinders. Well, praise God. So one of the places where we find ourselves and where we explore the things of the Spirit is in these rudimentary experiences of prayer and praise. Now, we've taught this before, and in the Bible study, I teach that it is, and it's a great point to discuss this, at the point of the altar of incense. It's right at the veil before you go into the Holy of Holies, and at that place you're as close to the Shekinah glory of God as you can be. Well, we understand that in Revelation chapter 8, the Bible says that the angel goes into the presence of God bearing a censer, and that censer is filled with incense and the prayers of the saints. And so we get this typology very clearly in the scripture that the incense of the Old Testament is a type of your prayer. I would go further and say it's also a type of praise, because prayer and praise are much the same activity, a little bit different manifestation, but you're coming by your spirit into the presence of God's Spirit. You can't do that carnally. You can't do it logically. You can't do it academically or intellectually. You have to come in. The deep calleth unto deep. It's spirit to spirit. And if you wanted to check that in the first book of Corinthians and second chapter, you find that it is by the Spirit that we know the spiritual things of God. And God breathes into us and God deals with us in our spirit. And some of that goes down below the level of the natural mind. And so when you really want to encounter God and find out about yourself and your relationship with God, there's only a couple of venues that you can do that in. One is deep seasons of spiritual encounter in the Word of God. Another would be deep seasons of prayer. And another would be fervent praise and magnifying God. In all of those places, your spirit is opened and you meld with God's presence, and you, by resonance and by contact, you catch things out of the spirit. Sometimes you'll leave a service and you'll have a knowledge of something. Nobody talked to you about it, but the Holy Ghost breathed it into you. Sometimes in the middle of a prayer meeting, you'll get a dose of clarity about something that you were absolutely confused about before, but in a time of prayer, and you can't line it up in a linear, natural way. It's just, it comes to you while you're there, enmeshed in the presence of God. Something begins to move in your spirit, and clarity bubbles up, or knowledge bubbles up, or a way, or a vision, or an understanding. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Has anybody in this place ever walked into a place of prayer and you came out with an answer that a man couldn't have given you, but you heard from the voice of God? Well, praise God. Are you glad for that tonight? That's what prayer is about, and that's where we were heading on Sunday night, and that's what we stopped and we did a bit of a workshop in on. Did anybody walk in some places with God that were refreshing and powerful for you Sunday night just in prayer? Well, praise God. We're going to do a little bit more of that here tonight, but we're going to talk a little more about the nuts and bolts of the gifts of the Spirit, because I believe you're going to cause your giftedness to blossom. You're going to understand it. You're going to hear about it and have a knowledge of it in a place of prayer and in the solitude of your connection with God. There's something that happens in your spirit where you receive from God on a level that you can't any other way. You know, it's possible to come to church, be carnal as a brick. It's possible to come to church and not pray. It's possible to come to church, but I'm going to tell you this. It's not possible to live for God and not pray. I'm not trying to discourage anybody. I'm just trying to lift you up and say, come on, there's so much more to be had. If you're doing this anyway, if you're slogging through and you're living for God at a measure and you're coming to church faithfully, why not blow through this thing and live on the victorious side where God is alive in you every day of your life? You do that by an encounter in prayer. So let's start in chapter 14 and verse 14 again. This is where, and in this chapter, Paul deals with the gift of tongues and that prayer language, tongues, or your Holy Ghost experience, tongues that everybody has. He interacts with both of those throughout this chapter. Verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. And so there's a time of prayer where I pray what I understand. I know I need to pray for the church, and I know I need to pray for my wife and my children, and I know I need to pray for my grandkids, and I know I need to pray for the peace and the prosperity of this city. And I know, did you know that? When he sent them into captivity, he says, you pray for the prosperity and the peace of that place because your well-being is tied up in that. It's hard for us to have a lot of guys and gals that are fully employed if the city is broke and going under. So we want the blessing of God on the city of Birmingham. Everybody say amen. And those are things I understand. I want to pray for the services. I want to pray for revival. I pray for Brother Cliff's Bible studies. I pray for your Bible studies. There's a whole lot of things we know we ought to pray for. Some things on the job. Some things with your cousin Harry or your long-lost relative you hadn't seen that just called you with a problem in their life. So all kind of things we know about we need to pray for. But Romans clearly says that there are things that we need to pray for that we don't know how to pray about. And so there is a prayer in my understanding and a prayer in the spirit. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. And so in my prayer time, I'm going to have a time of prayer that I understand. And I'm going to cover all the things that are important. I personally use the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave his disciples as a framing for my time of prayer. And I cover everything that's important in my life. And I've kind of done that for years now. And so it's just automatic. But if you're going to learn how to build a prayer life, then you might list all the really important things that you want to pray for on a regular basis and then incorporate them into a frame so that you don't spend a lot of time in prayer just going and not know what it is you're trying to accomplish. Because prayer is a lot of things. Prayer is a journey. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is work. Prayer is warfare. Prayer is intercession. Prayer is a lot of different things. And he says, I will pray with the Spirit. So after I've taken care of everything I know I need to pray for. And by the way, when I'm in a place where I'm praying for things I understand, I always try to punctuate that with speaking in tongues. And I'll explain that to you here in a moment in the scripture. But it's all, when you're focused on something in prayer and you begin to speak in tongues, you focus that heavenly language on that issue in prayer. I'll show it to you in a moment. And I'll sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding also. And so you want to begin to move into. Now, I had a lady tell us when we first got in the church and first got the Holy Ghost, and we were talking about speaking in tongues and having the liberty to speak in tongues. And she said, well, don't worry about it. I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago and I haven't talked in tongues since. That is not a role model for you. You want to be talking in tongues every day. You want to be talking in tongues as you're driving down the road. You want to be talking in tongues as you're walking into the job. You want to be talking in tongues as you're walking down the hall of your school. I'm just telling you, if you got a class in one building and a class in another building on a campus somewhere, talk in tongues between there. There is a power in God's people, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. There's prophecy that comes out of you when you're praying in tongues. Well, what am I saying? I have no idea, but I know God has you strategically located, and he's warring against the principalities of this city. When you're walking through here, you can walk across that same distance chewing gum. That's fine. It's America. You can walk across whistling Dixie. That's okay too. All of those things are good. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You can be quoting Jabberwocky if you want as you're making your way through there. Just anything is okay. I mean, it's not a bad thing to be walking across doing any number of things, but it's a better thing to say, I've got a little distance here. There's a principality in this city that I'd like to see come down. It's got some of my family bound up. It's got my friends bound up. I'd like to see some people break loose, and it only happens by the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. And so today, it's just a 5-minute walk, but I'm going to give this 5 minutes to the kingdom of God and coming against the principalities in this city. So you see, you can turn just a simple walk across campus, or a simple walk from the car in through the gates and onto the job, or out of your classroom down the hall. You can turn that simple stroll into a prayer walk, and you can effectively encounter the things of God for someone in that place, that job, or that school. It's an important thing. I don't diminish or marginalize the power of what we do here, praying here, talking in tongues here. But I want you to know where it really is effective. It's when we're outside these walls, where the needs are and where the people are and where the principalities have rule and reign. That's where you really do some good work when you're talking in tongues. Everybody say praise the Lord. Well, you don't have to be screaming it out loud. You could. I mean, it's America. We have freedom of speech. Why not use it? Else, verse 16. When thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest? So when you sit down for lunch with somebody, Brother Kedrick, he says, pray in English. Or whatever the given language is, Brother Porfirio, if you're sitting with some friends and they happen to be Latino, you pray in Spanish. You don't pray in tongues, he said, because they don't understand what you're saying. They don't know what you just said. So he's talking about etiquette, just being polite. Pray in an understandable language. But let me show you what he says about that. In verse 17, for thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. What did he just say? He said, if you were praying for the meal and you spoke in tongues, you would have given thanks well. But the other guy just doesn't understand what you're saying. So he's dealing with etiquette here. He said, don't be praying over the food in an unknown tongue. Don't be praying over the food talking in tongues, because the other guy doesn't know where the amen goes. He can't join in. Remember, it's about the body. It's about unity. It's about relationship and all that. So you want to pray in an understandable language. But that next verse is really, really a verse of insight and information for us. He said, you gave thanks well, but the other was not edified. Let's focus on the first part. When you prayed in tongues over that meal, you gave thanks well. That means what you were directed toward, the Holy Ghost was directed toward. That means I can direct the Holy Ghost when I'm talking in tongues. It's not just random out in the air. So when I'm praying for Melissa and I'm praying for her in my understanding, I know what we both know what I'm praying for. But when I begin to speak in tongues, I'm not suddenly praying for some person in China. The Holy Ghost has not gone rogue here, but it's directed toward what? So if I'm praying for the meal and I speak in tongues, it's praying for the meal. If I'm praying for you and I speak in tongues, it's praying. So then in this service tonight, one of the things we're going to do, we're going to do a little workshop. I want you to target some things that you want to see change in. I want you to target some things that you need to see develop in your life. I want you to target some things that you need improvement in your own life or in your family life or on the job. I mean, this is real life, folks. God said, he said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be a partaker in the promise of Abraham. He said that if you are baptized in Jesus' name, then you're a child of Abraham and an heir of the promise. And what was the promise? Abraham, I'm going to bless you. It's the will of God to bless you. But he said, I'm going to bless you. And in you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Well, how are all the families of the earth going to be blessed in me? I'm just a normal person here in Alabama. How can I bless the whole world? You've got something born of God in your heart. You've got something alive from the kingdom of God inside of you. And when you speak, it shakes things in the cosmos. Now, some of you are not on board with this at all right now. I'm telling you don't understand what you've got. One of the reasons is you're not spending enough time in prayer. And when you are in prayer, you're not in a place of depth of prayer. And you really have to get a hold of this. And if we have to turn every service here into a prayer meeting, it is a day and a time for this church to come into maturity in prayer. It's time for our fellowship and this body to come into a place of understanding and maturity in prayer, for you to know who you are in prayer, and for you to understand what is possible in prayer, and what God can do through you if you prophesy in prayer. Friend, he didn't give you a little slingshot. He didn't just give you a little BB gun when he gave you the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so what he wants you to do is loose that. Loose it and let it go. When he's wrestling with Jacob, he says, turn me loose. Let me go. This is God talking to a man. And the man has God in a half Nelson. And the man tells God, I won't let you go. And what precipitated that? Why is he there? Because he came out of Haran after 20 years, and he has flocks and herds and servants. He is wealthy beyond imagination. He comes out of there. He went in a single man. He came out a tribe, if you would. And he had wealth all up in those herds. And when he comes out, he hears that Esau's coming. God met him on the way into Haran and said, listen, I'm with you. I'm the God of Abram. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm with you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to continue to be with you until I see all of these things. And he gives him a repetition of the promise of God to Abraham. Angels are there ascending and descending into heaven. Now, I want you to understand that wherever you are, the angels of the Lord are encamped there. Do you understand that? Why are they there? Hebrews 1:14. They are sent to be ministering spirits to those that are heirs of salvation. Angels aren't just hanging around here randomly. But when Jacob went into Haran, he saw the angels of God. He said, oh, how dreadful is this place. How terrible is this place. This is none other than the gate of heaven. This is the door of heaven. This is God's house. He renamed the place Bethel because he had the mistaken idea that the angels were there because of the place. But if he'd have been 5 miles down the road, the angels would have been there because they weren't there for the place. They were there because the covenant man was there and they were encamping round about him. When 20 years later he comes out of Haran, the angels are there again. He sees them and he names the place where he sees them Mahanaim, or the place of the second host, the double host of God, the angelic host. Why are the angels moving? They were moving when he was moving into Haran. They were moving when he was moving out of Haran. They were moving the day when you went into your schoolhouse. They were moving the day when you went into your place of work. They were moving today when you were traveling up and down the highways and wherever you are, just like where Jacob was. Angels of God are ascending and descending. What are they doing? They're carrying on commerce. Remember in Revelation chapter 8, they're carrying the prayers of the saints into the prayer. Wherever you are, there's the commerce between heaven and earth. Commerce born on angels' wings. Commerce that is supernatural. Commerce that is bigger than you and greater than you. Jacob hears all this. He sees all this. But when he comes out, his old enemy Esau is there. And he starts dividing up his flocks and his blessings from God. And he starts sending them over wave after wave with a message. When you meet Esau, you tell him, my Lord Esau, thy servant Jacob has sent these unto you for fear's sake. He's sending away the blessings of God because he's afraid and he doesn't understand. He's sending away the blessings of God and he's got the whole world upside down. He calls Esau Lord and he calls himself servant. But God has already told him, when that old man laid his hand on his head, the voice of his father said, and your brothers are going to serve you. And God reiterates it, your brothers are going to serve you. And so Jacob is master, but he doesn't know that he's master. Can I tell you tonight, some of you are walking and living far beneath the privilege that God has called you to walk in, because you don't know who you are and you don't know the power of prayer and you don't know the giftedness of God down inside of you. But hear me, it's time to wake up. It's time to step up. It's time to embrace what God. And if you don't know any of these things, it's not a matter of condemnation. This is a place to be informed. If you don't know your place in the kingdom, get down into a place of prayer, because that's where you'll find it. If you don't know how to walk in the Spirit, get down in a place of prayer, because it's like exercising a muscle. It's like learning a new skill set. It's like apprehending anything in the natural or in the cognitive. The more time you put into it, the better you get at it. You learn the nuance of it. You learn the nuance of His voice and of His touch. And He can lead you by the eye, and He doesn't have to lead you by the bit. And He can talk to you. And He can show you where your giftedness is. And then He can unleash you to do the work He's called you to do. And if you're a little bit dissatisfied with living for God, you've never ever walked into that place where you understand what your purpose is. Because once you see that and once you know that, there is no turning back. And there's not a rainy day that can put gloom in your soul. I'm just telling you, right now, if you know your calling and you know your giftedness and you know your place in the kingdom, my God, it's a place where David does wake up every day and says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." You find those things in prayer. We spend a lot of time in the Word of God, and there's absolutely wonderful things to be gleaned there. But you've got to get down and walk up. He told Abraham, "Here's the promise. Now walk up and down in it." He said, "Every place the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give that to you." Prayer is exactly like that. You can't have ownership of spiritual things if you've never walked there. You can't lay claim to those things if you've never walked there. But you've got to get down and find yourself a place of prayer. Some people kneel. Some people walk. Some people lay prostrate. Some folks pray in all kinds of different postures in all kinds of different ways. You're unique. You're just you. Don't worry about being like anybody else. But prayer is for everybody. He said, "What is it then? I will pray." And we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the fact that that's a function of will. I will pray in my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. But it starts with, "I will pray." It doesn't start with, "I will pray in the Spirit." It just simply starts with, "I will pray." That means I will exercise faith. I will commune with God. I will touch base with God every day. I will explore the things. It's a journey. It's an exploration. There are miles of room and places and hidden secrets in prayer that you haven't even begun to move in right now. There's a word in the house for you tonight, and it is, would you walk up and down in it? Would you lay claim? There's a promise here tonight. Every place where the sole of your foot steps, I'm going to give that to you. Well, what does that mean? I don't know what it means for you, but you're going to find your giftedness, and you're going to find ministry. And you're going to find calling. And I'm not calling anybody to a pulpit. I'm just telling you, the kingdom of God in you is in you for a purpose and a reason. And the world needs it more right now than it's ever needed it. And you are a key, and you are a valuable asset in the hand of God. But it all hinges on your will. God doesn't just use you like an inanimate object. God sets you forth. And if you never find these things and you never explore these things and you never utilize these things, you'll be like Jacob and you'll be sending over the blessings of God to the enemy for fear's sake. You say, "Well, how does that translate to where we're standing?" That just means the kingdom of God is peace and righteousness and joy. If you are bereft of peace and righteousness and joy, I'm telling you, the reason is those things come with the Holy Ghost. If you're bereft of peace, it's because you're not exercising the Holy Ghost. If you're bereft of joy, you're not exercising the Holy Ghost. And if you're struggling with righteousness, you're not exercising the Holy Ghost. And all you're doing is feeding the other dog, the flesh dog. And the flesh dog hates all of this. And the flesh dog is worried about what people think and about how much money and about prestige and about. And it just, the flesh dog can get with you. They can come to church. It'll sit here on a pew. And it likes the idea of not going to hell. It can kind of understand that. That's about as far as it wants to go. But you got to start feeding that other part of you. And the place where you do that is in prayer. Praise God. Praise God. So I didn't know how far we would get tonight. But kill everything but the hanging lights and the sconces. Lindsay, find us some prayer music tonight. And I want to invite everybody in the house. You say, well, I'm not feeling anything. You don't have to feel anything to pray. If you wait till you feel, you'll miss three quarters or more of what God has for you. We don't do this by feeling. What do we do it by? We do it by faith. Prayer is a rudimentary expression of faith. Praise God. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to pray. If you need to repent of sins, you need to take care of that first. But what I really want you to do, I want somebody to begin to pray in your understanding, whether it's for a problem in your life or for your family or for a loved one. And once you focus in on that, then I want you to begin to talk in tongues on that, because that's what you'll be praying for. It's an automatic. That's what the Holy Ghost zeroes in on. So I want you to begin to do that tonight. Would you do that? All over the house. If you sit, sit. If you kneel, kneel. If you walk, walk. But open up your mouth and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to practice Paul's teaching here tonight. Now, I want you to get with one person, and I want you to share something with them that you need prayer for. You're going to do that with one another, and then you're going to, when they tell you what they want you to pray for, you lay your hand on them and you begin to pray for them. First in your understanding, and then in the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of God pray. And then you're going to do that for the other. Nick and Micah are here. Nick, you're going to find out what he needs prayer for. You're going to lay hands on him and pray in your understanding. And then you're going to pray in tongues for him until you feel release in that. And then Micah, you're going to find out what Nick needs prayer for. You're going to lay a hand on him and you're going to pray for him first in your understanding. And then you're going to pray for him in tongues. Come on. Everybody in the house needs to hook up and do this tonight. This is where you find your giftedness. This is where you find what God has called you to. You'll move into it just as effortlessly and seamlessly. Don't pray a little timid prayer. Pray a real prayer. Pray a prayer that moves something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, mighty God, mighty God. Could you just break into liberty and prayer right now and praise and just let God move through your vessel? Hallelujah. Praise God. One more shift and then we'll be done. I want you to think about where you're going to spend most of your day tomorrow. Wherever you're going to go, whether it's school or work, wherever you're going to be, I want you to pray for that place right now. I want you to pray for it first in your understanding, and then I want you to pray for it in the spirit. Because you're focusing that prayer. You're focusing the voice of God onto that place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just love Him and praise Him a little bit here tonight. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just lay your hand on somebody right there by you. Take somebody's hand. And let's just wait in His presence. And let the Holy Ghost just wash over every vessel, every life, every home. Even right now, there's at least three of you that have heard very distinct words from God, and you don't understand what to do with it, and you're not comfortable to speak it out. Or I'm going to ask you, though, to bring that to me when we conclude here and we leave here. I want, before you leave, I want you to come to me and tell me what God spoke to your heart tonight. Because I want to give you some direction about what to do with that. I sat in a Bible study last night with a family. And we're around the place where Jesus gets baptized. And we've laid the foundation and all. And we got into a little conversation about John saying, the one that's coming after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I had four kids all lit up and energized. And it's a school day and it's about 8:30. And they should be dragging. But they are wired up. And every one of them, I want the Holy Ghost. Can I talk in tongues tonight? I'm going to do that when you leave. I'm going to go to my bedroom and I'm going to, because I gave them a little tutorial on how to lift their hands and love God. I had them love their dad. Like, just tell your dad everything he does is good and all the ways you love him. And it was practice. And I said, now just do that to God. Just tell God how much you love him. They all want the Holy Ghost. That's just a little microcosm. But I am convinced that that kind of hunger and that kind of excitement is all over this city. And you are the light of the world. You are the hope. And if you're not walking in what he's packaged in you, not only are they missing out on it, but you're missing out on it. Because that's where the good stuff is. That's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. That's where the miracle of waking up every morning. Praise God, I've got the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't matter what else goes on. But I think you got hungry people all around you. That's why I wanted you to pray for your job and your school and all of that. God bless you. Love and bless somebody before you leave. We're shifting gears here, church. We're moving into a new strata. Prayer is going to become very, very important to you. We need to hear from God. I think everything's up and running for Friday night. God bless you.